Hey everybody, welcome to episode 49 of the Metal Detecting Show podcast. My name is Kieran and I have been metal detecting for nearly 30 years. This week, we have our first interview of the year with Jeff, aka Adventures with Goat. Yee yee! We talk about adventure detecting, mining, and gold prospecting. And wait for the moment when Jeff scares the bejesus out of me. Hey everybody, before we start, I want to thank you for listening to the podcast, and I hope you enjoyed the show this week. But before we begin, I want to give you the following information. If you want to give me feedback or interact with the show, please reach out to me on Twitter at DetectingThe, or Instagram at The Metal Detecting Podcast, or if you want to pop me an email to Kieran@TheMetalDetectingShow.com. And now, if you would like to leave me a voicemail, please do so on SpeakPipe.com/ The Metal Detecting Show. The link will be in the show notes. If you would like to buy me a coffee, you can actually do so now with buymeacoffee.com/metal detecting. And lastly, and most importantly, if you like this content, please don't hesitate to tell your friends and don't forget to hit that subscribe button. This week I'm talking to Jeff, aka Adventures with Goat. Yee yee! Jeff, how the hell are you?
I am doing great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, man. So, Jeff, before we start, tell us all about yourself. Introduce yourself to the listeners.
My name is Jeff. I live in Colorado Springs, Colorado, right at the base of Pikes Peak, America's Mountain. I've lived in Colorado since 1979. And I love the Rocky Mountains. I love to explore. I just recently got into metal detecting. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. We're supposed to be getting some snow tonight and tomorrow, so that kind of put everything on hold for me.
Yeah, snow has a habit of doing that, all right. Our snow in Ireland is not exactly the same as your snow. You know, the whole country comes to a standstill here if we get 1 inch of snow, whereas I think you guys get, 10, 20 inches potentially?
It all depends on where we're at. Like here in Colorado Springs, it varies. We're supposed to be getting anywhere from 3 to 10 inches. It may just blow over us. It's this lovely bipolar weather here in Colorado.
Yeah, it sounds almost Irish. But yeah, hopefully it blows over and you can keep going.
Yes, sir.
Adventures with Goat. Give me a lowdown on where the name came from.
Well, it goes back to when I was probably about 19, 20. I wanted to start an adventure kind of guiding business. I liked to climb mountains and climb rocks when I was younger, and my friends just ended up calling me Goat or Goat Man because I'm at my younger age, I was pretty sure-footed. I'm a little bit bigger now, so I like to stay on the ground a little bit more. But they had called me Goat, and it's actually stuck. Then I just started YouTube, and Adventures with Goat just kind of came to my head, and it kind of stuck.
Did the goat name come before the beard, or was the goat after the beard?
I've had the beard since I was born. it kind of came along after the beard, but it's fun.
So you mentioned YouTube. So let's cover your social media before we forget. If you want to let everybody know how they can reach you on social media and where to find you on YouTube.
Okay. I'm on Instagram at Adventures with Goat. That's where I post a lot of my finds. I do a lot of little just random pictures and stuff like that on there. You can find me at YouTube at Adventures with Goat there. I believe I have 283 subs right now. I'm pretty happy about that. I've only been on YouTube since May 7th of 2020. So I'm going to be coming up on my year here real soon. Time flies when you're digging up some dirt.
Yeah, I'm coming up to the year myself. March 22nd is the year for me with the podcast. You know, we started it as soon as we went into COVID lockdown. COVID accelerated a lot of that for people, but We're not going to talk about COVID. What's Yee Yee all about?
It's a redneck thing. Yee Yee is, if you've ever heard of a country singer named Granger Smith, he has a t-shirt company and it's called Yee Yee Apparel. I kind of just picked it up and just started saying Yee Yee.
So I said it wrong at the start.
No, you said it great. You said it great. It's Yee Yee.
Yee Yee. Cool. I say that every time now I see it. It's brilliant. I just think it's one of those things. It's brilliant. You're the first person online I've seen use the term adventure detecting, right? Which is totally appropriate. And I'm assuming it's a mixture of like, you know, mudlarking, which is, I don't know, are you familiar with the term mudlarking? You know, finding stuff on the surface, hiking,
yes,
and
metal,
hiking and metal detecting. Can you describe what you do? Can you describe what your aim is and the activity you do when you go out on a hike or a hunt?
I use a Minelab GoFind 66, which is it's a collapsible metal detector.
Yeah.
And it fits perfectly in my backpack. I basically hike out into the woods and find a cool spot and metal detect it. I don't know. I like to hike, and that's where the adventure part came in. And my whole channel started as I wanted to get off the couch, get exercise, and it kind of started out like that. And then I eventually just kind of started metal detecting. I think about my fourth or fifth video. Here in Colorado, you obviously need to have permissions to to metal detect in certain spots, and you can't really dig. You have to probe. So my channel is it's just all about adventure and getting out there, getting off the couch and not being lazy. And it kind of backfired on me because I've gained a little bit of weight.
Yeah.
You know, it's the metal detecting curse.
Yeah, absolutely. I suffer greatly from it myself. So, 66, right? You said it's because it's collapsible, and you know it's obviously a conscious choice because of that packaging ability. It's absolutely perfect for what you do. But was it your first choice, or you know, was that exactly what you were looking for when you picked it?
Not really, but I have liked Minelab for so long. Gary Drayton uses a Minelab. Yeah. And some of the bigger guys use Minelab. It was actually affordable at the time. I think I picked mine up for about $250, $300, and it came with a pinpointer and a shovel, which I'm totally cool with that. And it was a package deal. But I'm actually looking into getting like an upgrade to probably like a Garrett AT Max or something like that, something that's submersible. Yeah. To where I can actually go out and do some underwater metal detecting eventually. Here, and we have some pretty decent sized lakes that I would actually like to dive in. And that's another certification that I would have to get.
Yeah, but gee, that would make for a cool YouTube video diving with us. And do you like the 66? You know, are you gonna? You know, like my first detector, I still have it, you know, from 20 years ago. You know, you always love your first car. You always love your first detector. You know, do you actually like using it, or does it frustrate you? Like, so if you were to give it a review, say, for example, what would you say about it?
On the Minelab GoFind 66, out of 1 to 10, I'd probably give it about a 7, 7.5. It's very easy to use. It's one of those machines to where you can literally pick it up, extend it out, and turn it on and start detecting. It's a very simple machine to use. It's a good beginner one. I haven't metal detected in years, prior to the last, you know, 9-10 months or however long it's been. And yeah, it's a very good machine. It finds what I need it to find. like with bullets, shell casings. It rings up high like money, like gold and coins and stuff like that. But it's just the properties of the shell casing. But yeah, it's a really good detector. I like it for being my second one. My first one is called a Smart Tracker XP808. Okay. It's one of those old school Radio Shack ones. Takes like 909 volt batteries.
yeah.
And it's super heavy, and it just has a dial, you know, and that's it.
Would you, if there's anything to improve on the 66, would you think there's anything to improve that could be improved on it?
Yeah, actually, the lower part of the shaft has a red knob on there to secure it. So when you're swinging, it stays locked out. But the lower part of the Minelab GoFind 66 is just a kind of like a tension slide. It kind of just sticks out, and there's nothing locking it. Nice. So like, you know how when you're out in the field and you put your shovel in the ground and then you lean your metal detector up against it to get that nice picture for your thumbnail or whatever.
Yeah.
With the Minelab GoFind 66, what happens is the weight of itself will make it collapse on itself. So yeah. You end up with like a little miniature, you know, it slides in inside the shaft, and it's kind of a hassle. But you know, a little bit of duct tape, you know, to hold it on, you'll be all good. But that's other than that, man, that's the only thing that I would change on it.
Why can't my metal detector manufacturers get the shafts right? You know, Equinox problem with the shaft, Simplex have a problem with the shaft, wobbly shaft. People are having to buy a third party shaft for both of these, you know, the carbon fiber shaft. I just don't understand why they can't get it right. But that's probably a topic for another episode, maybe. So the map room, your weekly stream, I watched a few of them. I have to say my favorite one has been the most recent one with Ed Marvin. I mean, Ed, yes. what a find, such a wealth of knowledge, that guy. You could listen to him all day.
Absolutely. He's been a great inspiration to me with wanting to actually go out and gold pan, you know, get into gold prospecting. And that's where the adventure comes in is another part of my channel is this spring and summer is that the gold prospecting. Ed has he has filled me with so much knowledge. I actually have gone out and applied for my own mining claim, and I'm still working on all the paperwork. It's a mile long with all of that. But yeah, he's a great guy, very, very knowledgeable. And I'm hoping to get out to the Flash Bash thing that he has coming up this summer. We'll see how that one works out.
That sounds cool. Yeah. I'd love to be able to travel over for that. That'd be a good crack. So you said you were working on a claim. You're just following the paper trail right now. Can you give us any information on the claim that I don't, obviously not exactly where it is like, but what you're looking at?
Well, it's a fluorite and fluorine mine. It's a lode mine, which means it's underground, which means it's there's a lot of paperwork. If I was to use any kind of heavy equipment, it would be a lot more permits. But if it's just me, I don't use any kind of heavy equipment or anything like that. Just pick and shovel. I don't need very many permits. There's no water on this claim, so it's basically just picking up a bunch of green rocks off of the ground, which are really cool. I have a whole bunch in front of me here. They're super, super, like kryptonite. Looks like kryptonite.
Oh, wow.
Superman's kryptonite. And it's basically green quartz is what it is. And in that is, you know, there's a possibility of gold. I think gold is the third mineral on the list for this mine. But I also just got access to an actual gold mine from another friend, metal detectorist, KCMD, Kicking Cancer Metal Detecting. He's given me access to his mine. He's down in Florida, and he said that it's pulling 1.5 to 2 ounces a ton of gold out of that. And he said that he busted his butt to get some gold out of there. Months, like 4 or 5 months, he said he worked it, and I don't remember the exact number about how much gold he got out of it, but needless to say, he's letting me use it now.
Yeah, pick up the scraps, basically.
Yeah.
So what level of research did you have to do to sort of decide on a site? For the listeners, you know, prospecting is probably an alien thing to a lot of people in Europe. There's very few people do it. So I would love if you could explain like the research process that you go through just to decide on a site that I'm going to hunt, or I'm going to put all the work in, really, with the red tape and the paperwork to select it. Like,
well, here in the United States, there's a couple sites you can go to. One is called, let me see if it'll pull up. One is called The Diggings. And basically it shows you the area that you're interested in, and if that has an open claim or a closed claim, or if it's private property, what the minerals are on that section of land. And it gives you grid coordinates. When you file a claim, you have to have your center point of where your main center point of your claim is, and then you have to measure out your four corners. And they usually give you, I don't know how it is in Canada or in the UK, but they give you here, they give you 20 acres. And that's a lot. That's a lot to dig on. So you have a 20 acre claim, and you would just go out to those sites and literally look at them and make sure that you're not claim jumping, because you will get shot if someone's out there. But they can't stop you from camping on it or walking on it or hiking on it or anything like that. But you can stop them from taking off minerals on that area. But it's just literally going out there and finding what's not private property and what's not state land, federal land. I believe you can file claims on Bureau of Land Management and the Forest Service. And then you basically lease the mineral for a year. So you would have to pay every year from the time that you get the claim to the time that you, for the following year. And there's maintenance fees and all that. You have to file with the Bureau of Land Management or the Forest Service, and you have to file with the local county government to make sure that it's not active or private. It's kind of I think it's a third class felony if you file a claim on somebody else's claim. But if it's been closed for so many years, I believe that it's open. Wow. So I'm still kind of I'm still working through all the process on all the paperwork of everything. So.
And that's a great thing about the channel. You know, you'll be able to share that process that you're going through. And so, well, you've done all the paperwork, you get permission, you get your claim. Do you just literally start digging? Are you walking around looking for green quartz, or you just literally pick a spot randomly and go, right, I'm going to dig here?
As the old miners said back in the day, follow the quartz. Okay. Wherever you find quartz, you're pretty much going to find gold. And quartz is the, you know, the white rock that, you know, looks like a crystal. And when you find that, you can literally start digging as soon as you file. As soon as you file, you can start working your claim. You have to, like I said, you have to put up all those the posts and everything. And I believe it's like 36 inches from the ground to the top of the post. And you have to put your name on it and all the information about who owns the claim, and put up signs saying that this is an active mining claim.
Wow. So it's literally look for the quartz, dig, and then you're starting to process the gold.
Immediately.
Yeah, well. Is that where your knowledge for sort of geology comes from? You're always pointing out different minerals in your videos. Is that where it came from, or did you have that prior to this interest that you've just developed?
It's been kind of prior. I've had like a rock hounding kind of bug in my life, you know, like, oh, that's a cool looking rock. Oh, cool. That's a crystal. Wow. That's awesome. And I'd pick it up and I'd keep it. I've found, I'm looking at it right now. I have a smoky quartz crystal right here, and it's the size of my thumb. And if it had a termination on it, I could actually sell it to a jeweler for a couple hundred bucks.
Wow.
And I've liked rocks all my life. And like I said, I've just been like a rock hound, and then, you know, doing further research on, hey, what kind of rock is this? Oh, that's Amazonite. Where does it come from? It comes from this rock, and it goes to here. And you just get into a whole bunch of research. And then, you know, I'm not a geologist by any means, because I can't pronounce half of the words that are in there.
That's like us all, man. You mentioned it earlier on, right? There's a certain level of, or certain aspect around your hunts that's about keeping fit. Sometimes you show some Strava data, you know, you have your telemetry on your videos at times, you know, showing your route you're taking and where you're hiking. Was that what this started out as? You know, you just started to keep fit. And I know you said you wanted to get off the couch earlier on, but were you originally like just a hiking channel and developed into the metal detecting and the treasure hunting and stuff?
Yeah, it actually started out as, you know, just kind of video recording me working out. I think I have a couple workout videos on there and a whole bunch of hiking. And it was just, I wanted to do something different, something that somebody else wasn't doing. And then it just kind of morphed into what it is now.
I have to say, it is something that nobody else is doing. And I suppose that's one of the reasons I wanted to reach out to you to interview you, because it's definitely 100% original. And it's definitely, I really like this idea of adventure detecting. You did a great video on your backpack. And I do ask most guests what they have in their backpack. So can you go through what you carry in your backpack? And I'd be really interested in this one, because you are an experienced hiker and outdoorsman. So this is, I'm expecting greatness here.
Oh, man. So the metal detecting backpack. I have, to start, obviously, I have a 3-liter water bladder in the back. And then I have small containers to hold specimens. Like if I find a coin or whatever, I'll have a place to put my coins. I have my Mine Lab plastic shovel. And then I have my Gravedigger Tools Sidekick, which is it's like a saw for the ground. It's freaking awesome. I love it. I can literally stand on it and just jab it in the ground. Yeah. It won't even break. And then I have flashlights. I have a med kit. I usually carry some kind of food, like high protein, sardines or smoked fish, high protein foods to keep you going. Bananas, fruit like that. Let's see, what else do I have in there? I have extra shirt, rain gear. I usually carry, my friend brought up a good point to me the other day. He's like, so when you're down there digging, have you ever thought of, like, you know, like a bear walking up on you? And I was like, you know what? I never really thought of that. So now I actually carry my gun with me whenever I go out into the woods, because I do not want to get eaten by a bear or a mountain lion. You know, I mean, you get enamored when you're just digging and you're like, dude, I found a coin.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and Absolutely. You're just focusing on that and nothing else around you. But let's see, what else do I have in there? Like, oh, I have like a little pick set. Like when I'm doing gym hunting and rock hounding, you want to get into like some really, really small areas, and you don't want to use your hand to pull it out. You want to kind of chip around like a nice crystal or something. And so I have a pick set. Gosh, what else do I have in there? It's just, there's so much stuff in there. It took me like I think that video took me like 4.5 hours to make. Yeah. And then like 9 hours to edit. But basically my backpack has everything that I would need in it to survive for a day of hardcore metal detecting, hardcore hiking. I usually go out and I'll hike anywhere from 9 to 18 miles in a day.
Wow.
And that's just by myself, because nobody will go with me because I walk too fast. I usually walk about 3.5 to 4.5 miles per hour.
Wow.
Which is super fast, and that's uphill. And my backpack usually weighs about 40 pounds. Like on some of my longer backpacking metal detecting trips that I go up to my mining claim, I will bring my my little compact stove. It's a and I highly suggest, if you're going to go backpacking, get a jet boil. A jet boil, you will boil your water in 90 seconds. And it's super compact. It I think it weighs less than 2 apples.
Wow.
Like, it's cool. So light, and it's absolutely worth it. And I usually put that in my backpack when I go on the longer hikes to the claim and stuff. I'm just trying to think of what else I got in there. There's like notes. I have pencil and paper so I can write down stuff.
The kitchen sink.
Yeah.
You were talking about bears, right? And you're out in the wilderness. Did anything freaky happen to you out there, or have you crossed paths with Sasquatch? You're on your own out there. You have to have seen some freaky shit going on out there.
Yeah, I've seen some stuff. I've seen a couple mountain lions, some bears, but they usually stay away from you. Mountain lions, if you're alone, they'll track you. But I walk pretty heavy. And I kind of make a lot of noise to let animals know that I'm coming, talk to myself, you know. But I think one of the freakiest things that I've had is it's in my video. It's I don't remember the main title, but it says Attacked by Ghosts in the Rain. I did kind of like a metal detecting solo backpacking ghost hunt on that one.
Oh my God.
I've at this mine and on this road there, I know for a fact that there's been people that have died because it's over a 140-year-old railroad, and people die when you make railroads back in the day, you know, blowing out, drilling rock and using dynamite. People are going to die. That's just how it happens. Do you remember that movie Predator, where they're walking yeah. through the woods in the jungle and they hear that?
Yeah.
And they walk up on all those bodies hanging. That sound where it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. I have heard that 3 times at my claim.
Oh my
God. And I've looked up and it doesn't, there's nothing there. You know, I mean, I can hear birds flying by, but this is the same sound in the same spot every time. Oh. Man, like 3 times that I've been up there. It's like, and I'm just, it's giving me goosebumps now talking about it. That is actually the freakiest thing that I've had out there. And my phone did die. My camera did die. My flashlight screwed up for the entire night. I'm former law enforcement, so I've used this light, and it is a very, very good light. And it's like super bright. I've arrested a whole bunch of people with this light. And my little app on my phone, it said Saint, and then it said light. And right after it said Saint, everything shut down. And my light kept screwing up for the rest of the night. And my head's all tingling right now. I'm getting goosebumps.
You're giving me goosebumps.
But yeah, that's actually the freakiest thing that I've seen.
Oh, Jesus, okay. I wasn't expecting that. You know, it is nighttime here.
Oh yeah, well, it is.
You've some really cool finds. What's your top find that you found that you're most proud of?
I would say my best favorite find is the Underhill brand mining clothing button that I found. And I like it for this reason, because it's personal. It came off of somebody's clothes. They yeah. touched it every single day, and it wasn't a metal detecting find. I just looked down on the ground and boom, it was right there. And I was metal detecting that day. It it just blew my mind. I could read it on this mining company, which is really ironic. They shut down in 1991 here in Denver, Colorado. They were from like 1884 until 1991, I believe. And I did some research on it. That's where it came from. And I was like, wow, that's cool that it's an actual local button off of a miner's clothing company.
Yeah, isn't that always good to find something that's tied to your local area? I always love that. So what's on the bucket list then?
Well, I think it'd be a Roman hammer, but we ain't gonna find no Roman hammers over here. If we do, it'd change the history of the United States.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that my ultimate over here would be to find a coin from before the 1900s. I found surface find Wheaties and stuff like that. And I think I've dug up one Wheatie. I'm not sure. I wasn't recording on that one. But yeah, I think my ultimate bucket list right now would be to find a coin from before 1900.
Yeah. Anything with 1800 on it is good.
Oh, yeah.
So before we wrap up, make sure to let people know again where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Adventures with Goat. I do a lot of my finds on there. I post a lot of my pictures on there, and I also do some videos. I like to do a little random live streams on Instagram versus YouTube. You can also find me on YouTube at Adventures with Goat. I have, 280 subscribers there. So please show me some love.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to get that, to that ultimate 1000.
Yeah. Yeah.
But those are the only two places you can get a hold of me. My email is on there. I do sticker swaps. I love sending my stickers all around the world.
Last question. What do you wish you knew before you started metal detecting as a hobby?
Well, I wish I would have started it sooner, but I wish I would have known more about it before I started this last year. But I'm kind of one of those people where you just kind of dive on in and do it. But yeah, I wish I would have known more about the equipment, known more about the places to go and the groups, because I'm just now, I mean, it's going on almost a year and I'm just now finding about local groups here in Colorado.
There's nothing like metal detecting to bring a community of people together, you know? It's great.
Absolutely, man. I've definitely got to say that this community, the metal detecting community, the outdoor adventure community, especially the metal detecting community, all of us are down to earth. We're really mellow, happy go lucky. Just want to go out and have a good time and no chaos.
Yeah.
You know, just peaceful, smiling and just kicking back people. You know, it's one of the best communities that I've been involved in, the metal detecting community. And I greatly appreciate everybody who has supported me and who I'm supporting, because I watch their channels and it inspires me to get out there. And right now we're getting ready to get snowed on, like I said earlier. So it kind of puts a halt to everything. But hey, springtime's coming.
Springtime's coming. On that note, Jeff, aka the GOAT, thanks very much, man.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you having me on your show.
That's it for this week. I hope you liked this episode of the Metal Detecting Show podcast. Check out our website, www.themetaldetectingshow.com, for this episode's show notes. Check out our Patreon page if you want to help the podcast stay alive or just want to buy me a coffee. Actually, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do so now at buymeacoffee.com/metaldetecting. If you'd like to leave me a voicemail, please do so on speakpipe.com/The Metal Detecting Show. The link will be in the show notes. And if you feel like taking your appreciation to the next level, feel free to leave me a positive review on any podcast directory of your choice. If you like this content and would like more, please don't hesitate to tell your friends, and don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Once again, I hope you enjoyed this episode. We will chat to you all again next week. Get out there, eyes down, and happy hunting.